Please take your seats. And as we turn to page 1089, can I say just, we love to have children in church, but if anyone's at all restless, please feel free to use the creche this morning. There's no kids' church program this holiday, but there is creche available today. Page 1089, the very familiar passage of the resurrection in John's Gospel. Let's pray together. Lord, we thought during the week of not taking the cross for granted, because we know it and its symbolism so very well. Help us, Lord, not to take for granted the amazing, wonderful news of the resurrection. Lord, while it happened in history so many years ago, and we thank you, Lord, that history has not been the same since. And Heavenly Father, help us to understand what that means for us today. For you are Lord of all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of those kind of sideways thoughts came to me yesterday. It seems to happen a lot to me. If Jesus were resurrected in this 21st century, I thought, imagine all the paperwork there would have to be filled in. Imagine the forms. Name, Jesus. Date of birth, Christmas Day. Parents' names, and it already starts to get a bit complicated. Occupation, carpenter, / son of God. He might have a whole new category under employment, other. Date of death, cause of death, date of resurrection. I can picture a doctor saying to the resurrected Jesus, are you eating properly? You can walk through walls. And then he might say, well, you seem to be absolutely fine, but you mustn't drive for at least a month. Because that's what they tend to say. The resurrection is so far beyond our experience that human language struggles really to express just how amazing it is. And whenever it comes to looking at it from the position of weighing up the evidence or seeking proof, which is why the Gospels were written, we need to know what we're dealing with. We need to try and figure out some kind of definitions. You know that bit at the beginning of a legal document that sets out what each thing means. So what is death? That seems like a daft question, but actually it's a very relevant question. I'm not a qualified doctor. You'll be relieved to know that. But death is not just whenever your heart stops beating. What is resurrection? Resurrection is not just whenever your heart starts beating again. Let me try and explain this with three figures that you'll have heard of and compare their situations. Three men: Jesus, Lazarus, and Fabrice Muamba. You've heard of him. I'll take them in reverse order. He's first. It's just over a year ago now since we heard of Fabrice Muamba. I had never heard of him before, until what happened to him on the 17th of March 2012. Playing for Bolton Wanderers against Tottenham on the 17th of March last year, Fabrice Muamba had a heart incident, a heart attack on the football pitch. And his heart stopped for what some people have said was a total of 78 minutes. And yet in the last few weeks, he's been back on Twitter celebrating the anniversary of his recovery. He's been on chat shows sharing how he is doing. It was celebrated at the time as being a kind of resurrection. It was a great answer to prayer. People across the globe prayed for him. Their prayers were answered and he survived. The thing about Fabrice Muamba's situation is, in a medical sense, he didn't really die. He wasn't breathing for himself. His heart had stopped, but he was revived. With the intervention and the skill of the medical team, with the prompt action of the people at the time, and clearly with prayer, he was restored. Now, Lazarus, we've heard of him, he's a bit different. He was a friend of Jesus, but his situation is clearly different from Muamba. He really died. The Bible goes to great lengths to explain that he really died. He was in a tomb for days. But Jesus brings him back to life. Jesus intervenes with a miracle, But Lazarus is revived. It's hard to find a good word for it because it's not the same as Jesus' resurrection. Where is Lazarus now? Lazarus has not been on Twitter or any chat shows. Lazarus died again. But Jesus is different. Jesus is different to anyone before him or after him so far. He really died, and he was resurrected. The Gospels spend a lot of time not just explaining that he was alive again on Resurrection Day, but that he really died. We know what he suffered on the cross. The Roman soldiers, who had seen plenty of people die on crosses before, certified his time of death. They didn't break his legs, which would have speeded up the death of those on the crosses, because they were so sure that he had already died. They put a spear into his side, and the Bible is very definite about this, and out came water and blood. And to their mind, he was indisputably dead. There was no chance that he had just passed out. His body was wrapped for burial. His body was sealed in a tomb. And guards were placed outside the tomb to make sure that no one accessed it at all. But then on Easter morning, he is definitely alive. And his resurrection is very different to the calling forth of Lazarus from the grave. No one has to untie Jesus. No one calls him out of the tomb. Something physical, as well as something theological, something supernatural and amazing has happened in the resurrection. If we thought that Jesus defied expectations on Palm Sunday, although he was doing everything he said he would, imagine the reaction on Easter Day. And it's recorded for us. And the gospel passage we have read this morning is written to tell us about it for a reason, so we can make up our minds about it. And the evidence we have considered today is the evidence of an eyewitness account. John was there. Like Mary and Peter, he saw that the stone had been rolled away. He saw that the tomb was empty. He saw the neatly folded grave clothes, and he believed. He was quicker, in fact, to believe than the others. But John chooses to focus not on his own story as so much as he focuses on the story of Mary. In all the roller coaster of emotion, Mary discovers the reality of the living Jesus. She went to the tomb in grief. She went with quite a clear set of expectations. She went there to mourn. She wanted to pay respects. She wanted to honor Jesus, her dead Savior. And yet, everything is changed in what she encounters that morning. The whole world is changed in what Mary and the others found that morning, and which people have been discovering ever since. First thing we need to know about Easter is that Jesus is alive. Second thing is that Jesus is Lord. And this is Mary's testimony. Verse 18. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. And it is the resurrection, as we said from Romans 1, that confirms that Jesus is the Lord of this world. He had told them plenty of times that he would rise again, and he did. He kept his word. And in his resurrection, his godness, his divinity, his unique place in this world is confirmed. John gives us a little picture, and I think if we can see it as more than a secondary detail, we'll understand a little bit of what was going on that day. If we can just see the significance of this, which we might just easily pass over, I think it will give us real insight. Look at verse 11 and what Mary saw. Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and so through her tears she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. Now, it's not that amazing. We would expect this supernatural event to be associated with angels, just as Jesus' birth had been. But there's more to it than that. The tomb is not empty at this point. There are two angels there. Now compare that picture to this. It's back in the book of Exodus. Make an atonement cover of pure gold, God says. There's no gold in the John passage, but watch what else happens. Make an atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. And make 2 cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. Make 1 cherub on one end and the 2nd cherub on the other. Make the cherubim of 1 piece with the cover at the 2 ends. The cherubim are to have their wings spread upwards, overshadowing the cover with them. The cherubim are to face each other, looking towards the cover. Well, what's that about? Well, we spent some time last year in our Bible studies talking about the tabernacle, talking about the furnishings of the tabernacle that were later brought to the temple in Jerusalem. And among the great symbols of Israel's relationship with God was this seat. It was the top of the Ark of the Covenant. It was a very fancy box, a wooden box covered in gold. But it wasn't just a box. It was a seat, or even better, a throne, a place where once a year the sacrificial blood would be sprinkled and where Israel would come to make atonement, that is, to know reconciliation, or at least to be pointed to that reconciliation with God. And now that reconciliation has been completed and fulfilled. And while the other gospel writers tell us about the curtain of the temple being torn in two, the way the Holy of Holies is opened up, access to God. John doesn't mention that, but gives us this picture. And in it, he's saying that Jesus' death is the fulfillment of all of Israel's hopes and expectations. But he doesn't have a golden throne. But he pictures this stone slab where the body of Jesus had lain. These two angels, no wings are mentioned. But definitely two angels at either side. And John is telling us something about the way we meet with God. In the new world that God has brought about in the resurrection of Jesus, we meet God in the person of the living Savior. We meet with God in the person of the risen Jesus. And if you want to talk about thrones a little bit more, we're going to be thinking about the Lamb on the throne, a very powerful picture in Revelation later this evening. Jesus is alive. Jesus is the Lord, the one in whom we have a perfect relationship with God our Father. So what? The Bible says we need to believe this, we need to know it, and the world needs to know it too. A few chapters earlier, the disciples heard Jesus make a profound statement about himself. He made many statements about his own identity. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." You know it very well. This truth today, this resurrection truth, makes all the difference in the world. He is uniquely placed. He is the one who can give us life. And his way, well, his way took him through death and through darkness to light and hope. And it is the way, the only way, in him for life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We come to him to have that living relationship with God. But we have a responsibility. We need to tell the world this story. The story of Jesus and his living, resurrected body. We need to tell the world about Christ. As a family, we're going away for a few days this coming week. And one of the things we tend to do when we get away these days is to go to the cinema. And it will be obviously a highly intellectual and educational outing. But there is a lot of drama in our family when we go to the cinema, because people react in different ways when they're watching films. Now, I think Annabelle could match Mary Magdalene in terms of emotion, and clearly she gets it from her mother. But what always surprises me about Annabelle, she's coming seven, you know, and she can watch the same film again and again and again and still worry about what's going to happen at the end. Now, throughout this week, we've been saying, don't take the cross for granted. Come and revisit it and understand it with freshness. And I have been moved, and I hope you've been moved, as we have revisited the story. We know the story. We know what's going to happen. But I still need to say this morning, we need to meet the reality of the resurrection. And what I'm about to say might shock you. The resurrection is not a happy ending to this story. Bishop Tom Wright, in his book, How God Became King, available on the Kindle for £1.39. That's good. Says this: the resurrection, in short, is presented by the evangelists not as a happy ending after an increasingly sad and gloomy tale, but as the event that demonstrated that Jesus' execution really had dealt the death blow to the dark forces that had stood in the way of God's new world, God's kingdom of powerful, creative, and restorative love arriving on earth as in heaven. The resurrection, at the crescendo, at the high point of the Gospels, is not part of a Disney kind of approach to telling the stories of Jesus, a sense that we better finish on a high. That's not what we're talking about here. But it is the bringing of joy, the transformation of the world. Just as Jesus had said a few chapters before, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He had said in chapter 16, you will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. So it's not a happy ending. It's very much a beginning for the new world that Christ brings in. But it is about the changing of this world, the taking away of grief and the replacement with joy. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, we said, during the week. He lays it down to take it up again. But it is so much more than a happy ending. It is this wonderful new beginning. The beginning of a new world. The beginning of a new you in this world. It is the best news. And if we believe it, I pray that we will, as we take by faith what we read here. And if we believe it, we need to tell people about this message and share this good news, that it would ripple out from this place today. One person telling another about the living Jesus, that we'd make a difference in this world and a different world in Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to be moved emotionally and in every way as we come to this story. Help us not to be like the stones, Lord, but to be more like Mary, who met the risen Savior. And yet, Lord, help us, Lord, not to be ignorant or blind, but to really know who he is, to recognize him as our Lord and friend. Lord, we do pray for this good news message to spread as we share it, as we take it to those who need the hope and the new life which Christ alone can bring. For in his name we pray. Amen.